Alaba Girivara Dari Yashoda Nandana Vraja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Vraja Janaranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter 13, which is entitled Nature, the Enjoyer, and Consciousness. And we're reading from text 26.
Anyetvevam ajananta shutvatyebhya upasate tepi chati tarantyega mrityum shuti parayana.
So we'll read the translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Again, there are those who, although not conversant in spiritual knowledge, begin to worship the Supreme Person upon hearing about Him from others. Because of their tendency to hear from authorities, they also transcend the path of birth and death. Purport. This verse is particularly applicable to modern society, because in modern society there is practically no education in spiritual matters. Some of the people may appear to be atheistic or agnostic or philosophical, but actually there is no knowledge of philosophy. As for the common man, if he is a good soul, then there is a chance for advancement by hearing. This hearing process is very important. Lord Chaitanya, who preached Krishna consciousness in the modern world, gave great stress to hearing, because if the common man simply hears from authoritative sources, he can progress, especially, according to Lord Chaitanya, if he hears the transcendental vibration, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It is stated, therefore, that all men should take advantage of hearing from realized souls and gradually become able to understand everything. The worship of the Supreme Lord will then undoubtedly take place. Lord Chaitanya has said that in this age no one needs to change his position, but one should give up the endeavor to understand the absolute truth by speculative reasoning. One should learn to become the servant of those who are in knowledge of the Supreme Lord. If one is fortunate enough to take shelter of a pure devotee, hear from him about self-realization and follow in his footsteps, one will be gradually elevated to the position of a pure devotee. In this verse, particularly, the process of hearing is strongly recommended, and this is very appropriate. Although the common man is often not as capable as so-called philosophers, faithful hearing from an authoritative person will help one transcend this material existence and go back to Godhead, back to home. Om Agyan Timurandasya Gnanjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dino Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanjana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shivasade Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So beg for the blessings of the assembled devotees that we can say something for the pleasure of Shishi Radhe Shyam, Krishna Balaram, Shri Gaur Nitai, and may it be in line with Guru Parampara and for the benefit of all of the devotees. Hare Krishna. So again, this is 13th chapter, Bhagavad Gita, text 26. Again, there are those, although not conversant in spiritual knowledge, begin to worship the Supreme Person upon hearing about him from others. Because of their tendency to hear from authorities, they also transcend the path of birth and death. This 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the title in Sanskrit is Chaitra, Chaitra Gya Vibhaga Yoga. And it's about discriminating between matter and spirit as a means for yoga, as a means of connecting to the Supreme. This discrimination is necessary. Prabhupada entitles the English Nature, the Enjoyer, and Consciousness, which is interesting because the Sanskrit just says Chaitra, Chaitra Gya, two things. The field or matter, and then the knower of the field or spirit. But Prabhupada gives three categories: nature, the enjoyer, and consciousness. And why does he do that? Because in the very beginning of this chapter, Krishna says, Chaitragyam chapi mam, I am also Chaitragya. So there's matter, there's spirit, the living being, and there's also the Supreme Spirit. So because Krishna says that in the very beginning of the chapter, Prabhupada gives the title of the chapter, he includes Krishna. So that we also understand, yes, there's matter, there's spirit, but there's also the controller of both. There's also the Supreme Spirit, Krishna. And Krishna himself says that very early on in the chapter. So perhaps this is one of the more technical chapters of the Bhagavad Gita, but we can remember that the Gita is not just technical philosophy or analysis, but primarily it's a power. It's called the Chit Shakti, which means knowledge power. So it's not simply about, you know, trying to grasp it intellectually. We have to do that, of course, but the way to understand it also as a power, just by hearing from pure sources, by putting yourself in the vicinity of that sound vibration, that power begins to do what? It begins to awaken the soul. So we shouldn't think, oh, this is a technical section, or this, you know, this section of the Bhagavatam is a little, is beyond me, or it's too philosophical, or whatever. Just by hearing, Prabhupada would always encourage that. Just hear. And he was noted by his own spiritual master. It was noted by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur that Prabhupada liked to hear. And Prabhupada said, even I couldn't understand what he's saying, what he was saying, his language was so elevated, but still I would always sit and hear. And look at the effect. So it's a power to hear the Bhagavad Gita. And we want to be, when the consciousness becomes receptive by the grace of Guru, then this knowledge power awakens the human being, the real human being. So the problem with us human beings is that we always want to drag down the truth to our own level of understanding. We have a level of understanding ourselves, and we hear truth and we want to take it, we want to bring it down to us and try to understand it. And that way, because this is always happening in all the spiritual traditions and all the scriptures of the world, this is always happening. In this way, we betray the truth. And we make it something mundane, even though it is completely transcendental. So there's a nice verse I was looking at the other day in the Srimad Bhagavatam where Prahlad, he gives what's required for a hearer, for a person who hears, or the student. He gives certain qualities that are important to actually be able to hear. He doesn't say anything about having a just intellectual mind or brilliant mind or to be able to analyze, but he says jnanam amalam, for pure knowledge to be received. It cannot be pulled down to one's level, but one has to become a kinchananam. Kinchana means something, and akinchana means nothing. So Prahlad says, one has to become nothing and then hear. What does that mean? Akinchana anam, to become nothing. We were just talking the other day about this famous philosopher, Socrates. And he kind of had it as his mission in life to prove to people that although everybody has answers and is pretending to know so much, that actually nobody knows anything. This was like his mission in life. So he would go around and hear conversations, and then he'd ask somebody a question. They'd give an answer. And then he was very intelligent, so he showed how, well, if that's the answer, then what about this? And basically he would just, through his logic, he would show that their answer was actually full of contradictions and couldn't be the answer. So everybody he talked to thought they knew something, and by the time Socrates left, they thought, I thought I knew, but I don't know. He somehow proved to me that I don't know. This is kind of like a little mission that Socrates had, that he would just go around and do this, just to show that we're all ignorant, we all don't know. He didn't really maybe know how to explain that what we are. You know, we learn from the Vedic literatures, okay, we're not something, but we are something else. We are spirit. So he didn't give so much of that knowledge, but at least he was bringing down the pride and the vanity of people with their learning by showing that if you look at it very closely, even though you think you know, you're actually just pretending to know. You don't know anything. We don't know anything essential, right? We can learn some things in the material world, but when it comes to how do I become happy, essential questions. Who am I really? Where do I come from? Nothing. We have nothing. We can just give answers that are not connected to the truth. So Prahlad says the first qualification to hear, akinchana anam, one has to become nothing. At least one has to realize that. What is my knowledge? What do I really know? Let me just be humble and admit, I don't know who I am, where I come from, or where I'm going after death. And in that spirit, let me hear from someone who does know. Not only someone who knows, but someone who sees the truth. Bhagavad Gita speaks about tattva-darshi, a person who sees truth, not just speculates about it. So how rare to find such a person in this world who actually sees the truth, and to hear from that person, to serve that person. That's the process. So he says, akinchananam, you should become nothing. And he also says, ekantinam bhagavatas, you should also surrender to the Supreme Lord. And in that spirit of surrender to God and humility, in that spirit you hear. It says here in this verse, shutva. And what's the result of that hearing when you're in that mood and you hear? It's an amazing result that's given in this verse. Ati taranti eva mrityum. You will overcome death by that. How wonderful is that? If you hear from the right source with the right spirit, you are overcoming death. So I was listening to Prabhupada. He gives two lectures on this verse. And he was saying, even this, it says here in the Sanskrit, ajananta, even those who have no knowledge are not conversant in spiritual knowledge. And Prabhupada says in this regard, he says, so this Krishna consciousness is for the gokara. Gokara, go means cow, and kara means donkey. He said, this Krishna consciousness movement is actually for the gokara, the cows and the donkeys, but he means us, not the actual cows and donkeys. Because his point, the verse says, even if one is not conversant in spiritual things, spiritual knowledge, if they just hear from the right source, they can overcome death. So he says, our movement is to raise the gokara, the people who are like cows and donkeys, to raise them to human being. And then from human being to raise them to a devotee. I'm seeing so many, you know, for the first time, I'm moving here from New York recently, so for the first time I'm seeing so many cows and donkeys in this area when I drive around. And I was seeing these cows. It's so nice to see the cows, but it's also a little troubling, right? Because we know these cows are going to be killed. And so it's like this mixed feeling sometimes driving around and I'm seeing that. But the cow doesn't know what's happening. Right? This is the difference. Prabhupada, how many classes did Prabhupada start by pointing out the difference between a human being and an animal? So many classes he starts in this way, just to show that as a human being, a cow doesn't know it's going to be killed. Or at the slaughterhouse, so many animals, they even just line up. They have no idea what the line is all about or what's about to happen. But the human being, we have an opportunity to question that. And why is that so? And is there a solution? How to overcome death? The human being can ask those questions. But if we don't ask those questions, then gokara. Then we're just like that cow. We're just like that donkey who doesn't even think to ask that or search for an answer. You know, my job, I work for a hospice, I'm a hospice chaplain, so I was saying I was driving around, I'm seeing cows and donkeys, and many of them will be killed, and I'm also going to these people's homes, and they're also dying. So I was thinking, yeah, this is, the human being also is being killed by the laws of material nature. Just like the cow, just like these other animals. It's also happening to us. I mean, everybody I'm spending time with throughout the day is in the process of dying, very close to dying. And so just reflecting on how material nature is working in such a way that this is what's happening to all of us. But the human being can inquire and can hear, and just by this hearing, pure hearing from a pure source, one is actually overcoming this process of repeated birth and death. So, such an amazing result from this, what's mentioned in this verse, true hearing. You know, in Vedic culture, formerly, everybody knew that this was the real goal of life, is to overcome the process of birth and death. So even in the greeting to each other, what was the greeting? We hear from Ramayana and other places that Punar Janma Jayaya, they would ask this question of each other when they saw each other. Just like, you know, we say, how you doing? What's new? How are you feeling? So Punar Janma Jayaya means, how are you doing with overcoming death? Such an amazing culture, right? Even in the greeting, you get an indication of what the essence of life is. Just by somebody greeting you, it's a reminder. Oh yes, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. So you see the superiority of Vedic culture, that even in just the greeting, hello, how are you? You learn what you're meant to be doing as a human being. So these questions, these fundamental questions, who am I? Where did I come from? Where am I going? When we ask these questions, they seem to push us in a direction that makes us seek for an answer within time and space. So if somebody asks you, who are you? We just think in terms of this one life, the time and space, from birth to death, and we give an answer, we give our name. This is who I am. Or maybe some qualities that we have. This is me. Where did you come from? Again, we hear that in a very closed, partial consciousness that just knows this one life. I come from Pennsylvania. I come from New York. I come from India. And then where are you going? Well, we think of maybe where we're moving, or where we plan to move, or where are we going after death? We have no idea. So these are fundamental questions, but we relate them to just our very small experience between birth and death of this one life. But are we anything else beyond that? All scriptures, whatever tradition, they have this teaching that we're actually something else, and we've somehow lost that connection and lost that knowledge. In the Bhagavatam, there's a section I was looking at recently with King Satyavrata. And he's offering these beautiful prayers to Matsya Avatar. And in one of the prayers he says, this Mula Samsara, the root cause of this being caught in the cycle of birth and death, repeated birth and death. What is the root cause? He says, Upahata Atma Sambhida. The root cause of this bondage is that we've lost our true self-knowledge. When we talk about self-knowledge in this world, what do people mean? They usually just mean this self, this conditioning that I have, maybe some experiences, some traumas that I've gone through, and we think, self, get knowledge of yourself. That's what we mean, right? Our psychology. This is what we think of when we hear self-knowledge in this world. And of course, that has its place in spiritual life. That's very important. But the Vedic scriptures, they don't go too much into the psychology of each of us. They give a kind of frame of the different parts, the mind, the intelligence, the ego. But they don't get into all the little dark alleys of our psychology. They emphasize cultivating the mode of goodness. Mode of goodness living. And the idea is that by living according, understanding the modes of nature and the mode of goodness, then one starts to become healthy in their mind. And it kind of does, that's it. But really, what self-knowledge means, if you look in the Vedic scriptures, what always kind of comes up is it talks about there's two selves. There are two selves, just like the name of this chapter again, Chaitra, Chaitragya. there's this conditioned personality, and there's the spirit, my real self, and there's these two. And I'm sort of both right now, even though one has kind of gone, it says in the Upanishads, the spirit has gone and is hiding in the cave of the heart. And then there's this other self that emerges, and this other self gets conditioned, has so many experiences. So when people talk about self-knowledge in this world, this is the big thing that's missing. Because here's the amazing thing, if you're only one thing, if you're only this, then you could never shift to anything else. You can only either develop this, or make this thing healthier, stronger, or more powerful, or it decreases, becomes unhealthy, less powerful, less strong. But you can't ever become something else. You can only make that shift from this personality to the spirit when you're two. Right? If you're one and only one and you're just identified with one, you can't move from there. You can only improve that one or ruin that one. You know, we have so many traumas and then we just get hurt and we're trying to improve ourselves. And again, that's part of spiritual life, understanding that as well. But this whole other thing opens up with spiritual teachings, that you're actually a divine spirit, part and parcel of God. Okay, now knowing that, then we can ask the question, well, how do I go from this to that? But if that doesn't even exist,